went through and though we made it through the storm, I really want you to realize, I really want to put you on. I've been searching for someone.
Hey, Michelle.
How you been?
Welcome to West Coast Project.
Thanks.
This is West Coast Project. It's the regular old West Coast Project.
Not a specific one.
Yeah, how have you been since summer?
I know, since a long time. Good.
This is the new orange with the black heart behind you, but...
Yeah, I need to change that.
Looks kind of Halloween-y.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Still, I need to get that changed. Yeah, definitely. I'll do that.
So we just, we don't have any particular show to talk about, but I thought it would be cool to just catch up and see what's new.
There's been so much, you know, I mean, a lot of things, I don't know, it felt like TV has kind of died for a long time, which it tends to do, kind of, I suppose, in the summer, but I don't know.
Oh, I think it's been good. First of all, this is West Coast Project, westcoastproject.com, scathing tweets, and Michelle from Tennessee at Twitter. Like us on iTunes. Like us on Stitcher. Michelle, you're accepting bitcoins now, aren't you, somehow?
I don't even know what that is. So.
Anyway, it's good to be back in front of the microphone. It's been a while. It's been several weeks.
Yeah, I have.
So we're just here to shoot the breeze and catch up. But what have you been watching since the last time we talked?
Well, of course, Boardwalk. You know, Boardwalk Empire's back on and getting really into that. Of course, never really been out of it, but that's been pretty enjoyable. Have you been watching it this time?
What do you think about Boardwalk Empire losing out to the 1970s Rolling Stone profile? That's what Terrence Winter and Martin Scorsese, that's why they accelerated it and shortened it. You know, they zoomed ahead 7 years and this is a short season, I think, of only 8 episodes.
Okay, they did it. Why? I hadn't heard that.
Because they're going to do a special on Rolling Stone of the 1970s, like the Rolling Stone magazine, the music of the 1970s.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know. I couldn't imagine why they would necessarily want to shorten Boardwalk, but...
Yeah, Boardwalk's a masterpiece, and they're kind of jumping ship to do this new project.
They must have a lot of faith in it then, huh?
What do you think about Little Nucky and Little Eli?
You know, we've talked about this on so many of the shows or so many of the podcasts that we've done, and I really like the backstories, and I think they've just knocked it out of the park with this. I think that the actors are good, the children actors, and it just really gives us a feel for how Nucky became who Nucky is. Even up to the last one, which I think came on a couple nights ago, and we see Nucky as like a young man and not just the child anymore. And I thought they did a great job, first of all, of turning this actor into Steve Buscemi, Nucky. But I also think that the backstory, it just kind of blows me away. It really shows what molded them, I think. What do you think about it?
Yeah, I like it. I liked little Nucky showing little Eli like the magic of the privileged, like how a toilet flush is so magical to them who have to use outhouses and, you know, they've never seen stuff like that. And just their perspective opening my eyes to how things were back then and, you know, maybe even for some people now.
Well, yeah, and the difference in the classes and stuff, I suppose, like what you were saying, but also... I don't know. Buscemi, he's just blowing me away. The whole character thing is just, you forget that this is, you know, Carl Showalter in Fargo and the guy Rockhound in Armageddon and everything. He is...
Or Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah. I mean, I never thought about him being that great of an actor.
Mr. Pink.
It's absolutely, I mean, it's really, he's, I don't know. I just think he's, I believe when I'm watching this, he is not Steve Buscemi. He is Nucky Thompson to me. And I love that. I love when I can get lost in the character. And he does a great job with that.
What do you think?
Also, like, Sorry.
What do you think about Margaret and Nucky? Margaret's kind of coming back and standing up. She's got more spine. She's kind of standing up for herself. And
yeah, I always pull for that, I think, for the lost relationships to mend in whatever way. But something feels off about that to me. It's unsatisfying to me, the relationship. I think they only showed them together in one or two, maybe two episodes, but one was just at the very end and really quick. But I like Margaret as a character, and I always have. She really kept me around watching, probably, at the beginning. I loved the poor character that Nucky saved and all this. I just thought it was great, great storyline. But then she knew who he was, and she didn't like him very much. And I don't know if they're trying to tell us that she grew up, I don't know if grew up's the right word, but matured into this more hardened person who's willing to accept that character, or if...
Yeah, she's not just a little girl anymore. She's like more hardened, and I like her being able to call Nucky on his bullshit, but still liking him, like still holding his hand, and still like, you tell she's still like in love with him, still kissing him and still caring about him and stuff. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, but
she's drinking his wine. She like takes his glass of wine and drinks. She would have never done that in the first part of the series.
She would have done it at the end. At the end when she left, I think she would have done it. I guess that's what I'm having a hard time reconciling. She seems harder.
But she's doing that, like, drinking his wine is like she's doing it out of boldness, but also out of like a familiarity like one would have with a couple. Like you could drink your partner's glass, you know, without thinking twice. It was really, I thought, a really cool combination of both boldness and familiarity with Nucky, even after all the time that's passed.
I don't disagree with any of that. It's just when she insinuated she wanted to stay with him, and I didn't really buy that because she's the one that left him because she didn't like everything.
Yeah, but something's cooking that we don't know about yet.
Yeah, I mean, does she want to be with him? Was she trying to thank him for taking up, you know, or fixing her situation, even though he did it in his own way? But he also gave her a lot of power in his fix that he had for, wasn't it Mrs. Rothstein? Was that who it was for?
Yeah.
The money? Yeah. And I don't know. Something just doesn't feel settled. So maybe if they settle it's
definitely
it,
not. The whole message of you left a strong impression and maybe nothing changes. There's something still cooking between them that has to be resolved that we're going to see in the next two or three episodes.
I hope so.
That's all that's left.
I hope they don't drop it. I know.
They're not going to drop it. They brought it back to life.
Okay. Well, what about Jillian? Gretchen Boy. What about the position they've got her in there now?
I think she's in for some terrible, terrible doings.
Man, I do too. I think that whole situation has some horrifying potential. I mean, she could pay a really steep price for our sins.
I listened to the Bald Move guys and their podcast about Boardwalk, and they have they just one today. It came out today on October 7th. They talk about the doctor that, you know, that just took out that woman's some part of her digestive system. That doctor used to pull people's teeth and take out organs just because he thought that was causing their insanity.
Yeah, their infection. Their infection is what he was saying. Because remember, they had taken that other girl's teeth out, and they came to get this girl, and she didn't want them to take her teeth because her partner liked her smile, and she was screaming that she wanted.
So she was happier that they took out her colon or whatever.
Whoever. I've never seen it. Of course, you know, granted, that's a long time ago, but that was a lower rib cage incision. Although I've never seen a cut like that.
Not even a neat one. It was like a ragged looking.
No, and she didn't, but they They took out the infection, evidently.
And then he's going to take out Jillian's infection somehow, which is very ominous sounding.
Wasn't that horrible? Because she goes in there and she says, I'm better. And he said, well, how do you know? You know, and he's like, we have to find out what's causing it. Don't worry. And the thing about it that's so creepy, other than the fact that it's horrifyingly creepy, is you buy this. You buy that he believes this.
I mean, that was a real doctor. That was a real person in real life.
Really?
And they did, and you listen to the Bald Move guys, and they did that up until like the 50s.
Jeez,
they thought removing teeth would help people with insanity because the infections in their nasal and, I don't know, whatever, you're close to your head would affect your sanity.
And the fact that you couldn't eat and get any nourishment, I guess that, you know, I don't know.
Crazy. The other great actor in there is Shea Whigham, the guy that was, you know, Eli, Nucky's brother, but was also in True Detective.
Mm-hmm.
And by coincidence, I just happened to watch an episode of... They're replaying True Detective now on HBO. Mm-hmm. And the one where his sermon... He did his sermon that, you know, the True Detective guys, McConaughey and Woody, kind of made fun of. But when you... Or especially McConaughey made fun of. But you can watch that whole sermon on YouTube, and it's amazing. It's like a six-minute-long sermon of Shea Whigham just ripping it. It's really, really interesting.
Yeah, I think you even linked to that when we were doing that, the True Detective podcast, because that was, we talked about that whole sermon, and it was impressive, and you're right, I couldn't agree more. He is great, and I love the character development with him as well. And did you watch it through this last Sunday? Are you caught up? Because I don't want to spoil it.
Boardwalk Empire?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, where... He had the affair.
You don't want to spoil me, but you're going to spoil our thousands of listeners.
They should be caught up. They should be caught up.
Yeah, he had an affair with Van Alden's wife.
Yes, and didn't even remember and took his pregnant wife there because he's such a raging alcoholic, and then took his pregnant wife there to have dinner.
Right.
And she's... Man, she turned. So, do you still like her?
Yeah, that was pretty brutal. And Van Alden or Mueller, whatever, Van Alden slash Mueller, his wife is like not cutting any slack. She's just saying it like it is, man.
Well, and she's cold. She's not just saying it. I mean, she's just trying to be hurtful. It's like she hates everything and everybody. And,
well, she's had a pretty cold life.
Yeah, but remember we talked about before a little bit her, I don't know. You know, you were talking about how they were perfect for one another for a while.
At the time they were,
right. Yeah. And now, I mean, man, I don't know what's derailed on that, but in the last 6 years, something's definitely blown up.
Husband?
it's like she doesn't even bother to know his name or something. That's how I take that every time I hear her say that. And he jumps like he's been, like a whip's been cracked on him or something when she says that.
Right after he says, I'm not going to live my life in fear any longer. Husband? She jumps out of his chair.
Yeah. Oh, and Chalky. What about Chalky? He's back. I mean.
Yeah, Chalky's a little mysterious. Like his path, he's in a chain gang for doing some stupid little crime. He was like a massively big criminal figure, you know, successful criminal figure, and then he's like in for some petty crime, and now he's back, and he's back to being what? I guess we'll find out. But
yeah, I don't know, but we know they're protecting him there. So,
but I really like Shea Whigham. Shea Whigham was like a pretty heavy drunk in Boardwalk, and then he's a pretty heavy drunk in True Detective too, and he recovers but then falls back into it. He's like, he makes you feel the emotions and the weight of being like this alcoholic that he seems to play so perfectly.
Yeah, I agree with you.
So what else? What else? So in this True Detective, it was pretty cool. I was watching the one that maybe it was a couple that I'm trying to remember and they're merging together, but it was the one with the Houston projects with the cool movie cut. And it was one where they saw Reggie Or they saw Dora Lang. Who's Dora Lang's husband? Do you remember?
No.
His first name, but that guy, and they go to see him in prison, and they essentially tell him that him sharing Polaroids of Dora with Reggie Ledoux was what got Dora killed, because Reggie Ledoux kind of got after her and killed her.
Right.
And then they blame, you know, and he said, was it my fault for showing those pictures? And they kind of said, yes, it was. But I couldn't stop watching. It was like, I caught it kind of in the middle, and I already know what happens, but even though I knew it, I couldn't stop watching it. It was such a good show.
Yeah, I kind of caught the edge of one too, and I couldn't turn it off either. I remembered, you know, just the flood of emotion coming back from all of it. So do we know much about when it's coming back on? Because
no.
It is coming back.
Yeah, I don't know. I was just thinking back about that first season though. Do you can you remember McConaughey being in anything better than True Detective?
You know, I can't. I thought he was astounding in what was that movie where he had HIV? You just watched it.
Dallas Buyers Club?
Yes, Dallas Buyers Club. I thought he was great. And then I just saw him in something else. I swear it was like last night or not before. Just a glimpse of him in something.
The one where he's on the island and he's like an escaped prisoner. There's one where he's on an island and a couple of young boys kind of befriend him and they bring him stuff and he builds a boat.
Yeah, yes, that one too. Yeah, but he's great. He's another one of those characters that you forget you're watching Matthew McConaughey, because, you know, of course he's like this sex symbol or whatever. He's this, you know, and you just completely lose that in the character that he becomes. And but no, I think True Detective might be his best.
Yeah, and Woody, like what Woody Harrelson, what have you seen Woody in better, that where he's better than he was in True Detective?
Yeah, absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Although he's pretty good in the different things that I've seen him in too. I think I did read that the next anthology's slated to come on in like 15, the summer of next summer.
Anthology of what?
True Detective. The next 10 season or 10 episode. So, and it's supposed to be like, there's going to be 3 to 4 lead roles in this one. And it's supposed to be set in California. And that's really about all that they've given us, which is pretty much what we knew at the end of season one, I think.
Something about the highway projects in California or something?
That sounds right, yeah. Yeah, I was actually trying to look it up today to see if I could see anything else on it. And they're being pretty tight-lipped on it. I couldn't find much else.
So one thing I was thinking of when I hadn't spoken to you in a while, and I was thinking about doing this podcast, is the mirror. That really good TV is kind of a mirror to real life. It like makes you reflect on life. For me, it does. It's not just a total escape. Like I'll watch Three's Company or, you know, some stupid show that just like numbs my mind. But I like to think about how it really means, what it connects to in real life, and what, you know.
Sure.
I take some meaning from it that way. And I thought about like doing these podcasts. It's better to do a podcast, for me it is, to relate to how it feels in real life than to just do like a total fan cast recap. Like, you know, we're super fans of a show. We just talk about what happens in the show.
Right.
And recaps. But I like to relate to how it feels in real life. And it gives me an angle on life and how to unravel some of its mysteries. And, you know, like the characters in Boardwalk doing things for motivation. Like, what do they really want? What do they need? You know, are they after success? Are they after money? Are they escaping from something? Escaping from loneliness? Escaping from zombies or whatever? You know, survival.
Right. Survival.
We all have to survive, even if it's, you know, not raiding a Walmart in the aftermath of a zombie apocalypse.
Right.
We all have to figure it out. And, you know, in a way, to me, it's kind of a mirror for that.
Well, it's kind of interesting that you brought that up. Lately, we've been just really engrossed in Boss. I don't know if you've ever heard of it or not. It's Kelsey Grammer, but it is no Fraser Crane. He plays Tom Kane. He's the mayor of Chicago, who's been diagnosed with something called Lewy body dementia. And it's kind of like, it's reminiscent of House of Cards, but it's almost darker than House of Cards, if you can believe that, in a lot of ways. There's only two seasons of it out. Evidently, it was a Starz show, but it's now on Netflix. But what kind of gives it the special twist is not only the interaction between the characters, which is, you would, I think, love. I really think you would, because it's so complex. But it's compounded because of the dementia, and you essentially never know what you're going to get from this character. And because of that, it really adds this different layer to it. Now, it was on Starz, and then evidently it got canceled. And it was on in 11 and 12. And then it was canceled, and people were like, why? You know, and
what do you mean it was on it in 11 and 12?
2011 and 2012, it had two seasons, but it hasn't been back on. And people were saying that because it is so complex that, I forget how they put it, that we live in a honey boo boo society. Which
I don't believe that for a second. Look how popular like Game of Thrones is. That's way, way complex.
Yeah, but Game of Thrones is more sci-fi. And this is just real hard life stuff. It's politics, and it's
real. Is it about the mayor of Chicago?
Yes.
Because they called, you used to call Richard J. Daley boss.
Well,
he was the mayor for like 30 years. He was a mayor forever.
Well, this guy, Tom Kane, Kelsey Grammer, is supposed to have been mayor forever. And I didn't know that it was actually based on anybody, and I don't know if it was or not. But it's great, but it takes some pretty deep watching. I agree with you about Game of Thrones, particularly with the number of characters and stuff that you have in Game of Thrones. But this is, it's a little harder. It's not as entertaining, but it's so interesting at the same time. Kind of like what you were talking about. You know, if you don't want to watch something for fluff, then this is definitely something that shows the interaction between people. And I spend my whole time watching it. I'm on season 2, maybe episode 6 or 7, so I'm getting close to the end. And I spend my whole time trying to dissect, why would this person have done this? What influenced them to make this choice? And I really, really liked the show. I was surprised by how much I liked it.
So it's fictional. It's not. There really was no Tom Kane.
I have no idea. I mean, I didn't look it up to see whether it was fictional or not. I don't really know anything about it. I just know that it was something that came on Netflix, and it looked, you know, had a high rating. And so I thought, okay. And I think it might have even been recommended because of Game or House of Cards or something like that. So, you know, I thought, okay, give it a shot, and you should maybe try it.
Yeah, I'll check it out. You know, I never finished House of Cards. I never finished watching it.
A lot of people feel like season 2 just jumped the tracks. I didn't find that. I didn't see that at all. Did you?
Well, I didn't finish watching it, so.
So you must have.
Yeah.
Do you even remember where you left off or anything?
Remember the guy pushing. I remember the girl getting pushed in front of the train. And I remember, I don't know, I just kind of petered out for me. I lost interest pretty quickly.
Well, you're not the only person that said that. But, I mean, I don't want to tell you what happened, because it's really, I mean, it's really good. And, I mean, if you want to, you should maybe finish it up, because I thought it ended really strong. Not that I buy everything, but I think you have to overlook a lot of things, or at least some things in it, but, you know, like everything falling in his favor. At times when if one little thing went wrong, then the whole thing would crumble, but I thought it ended pretty strong.
Okay. Well, there's a couple things for me to check out. What did you think? Have you been watching Homeland? Did you watch the new episode of Homeland?
I have not.
Yeah, it's kind of a disappointment. They jammed two episodes together in the opening of season four. This season. But it just came out last night, I think, or Sunday.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but I started to say I didn't know it was on.
They put two episodes together, and I'll tell you, man, they are hurting because Carrie is unbelievable. Carrie has a baby now.
Oh, my gosh. How much time has passed?
I don't know. But Carrie has the traitor's baby.
Right.
And she's a little redheaded scamp, like he was a redheaded, and her sister's taking care of the baby because Carrie's got a post in like Afghanistan, Kabul, and the baby's with her sister back home. And Carrie's like a totally crappy bad mom, and if you know, there's one thing you can do to ruin a character, and that's to like have that character be mean to a kid, uncaring to a kid, and that's this episode. So Carrie, at one point, she can't put up with this baby. So she, spoiler alert, she's given it a bath, and she like, for a second, she pulls her feet underwater. So she's just, so this baby's underwater, like she's contemplating drowning it. And then she comes to her senses and like brings, you know, picks her up.
But
as soon as they do that, they like totally ruin Carrie. And there's no way you can ever like this character again.
How old's the baby?
It's like, I don't know, 3 months old, 4 months old.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's pretty bad.
What's the guy's name? The guy that was the guy who turned. God, I can't even remember his name. But she has totally red, little red hair, little redhead, just like the guy had redhead.
Which that's kind of funny.
Damian Lewis or whatever his real name is, but in his character he had red hair.
Yeah.
If you want to get back into it, there's a show that has like, it's a 15-minute little show that gives a recap of the first three seasons. I guess this is season four. And it's pretty good to watch that, get you kind of caught up. But
his name's Brody. It's Brody.
Brody, yeah.
Yeah,
so,
Nicholas or something, Brody.
So she takes the little baby to Nicholas's house and where the kids were with Nicholas, where he used to live in the suburbs or whatever Washington suburb they were in. And she's like, this is your daddy's old house. And she tries to bond a little bit, but then she kind of gets her job back. And after attempting to drown this kid and changing her mind, she goes back to her sister like, I can't take care of this baby. I got my job back and I got to zoom back over to Kabul. And so she gives up on the baby and like dumps her in her sister's lap. Totally bad character development. I don't care if Carrie gets tortured now.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds horrible. Yeah, I can't imagine. I was never overly in love with her anyway. She was so flighty and so, you know, season one, episode one, when they showed her like getting ready to go somewhere and they show her doing this wash. And it was so off-putting to me that every time I picture her now, I still picture that. So I haven't seen the baby thing, which I'm sure will wash away the wash scene she did. That was so disgusting to me, but
where she just kind of wipes her underarms and goes out and,
yeah, her underarms and her, like, crotch. She just, like, does this little wipe and then throws on this short. I mean, it's just this nasty. It was so, I don't know.
Well, she's living in the desert in a war zone. I wouldn't hold that against her.
No, she was in her apartment.
I know, but she's got the same habits.
Okay, well, you wouldn't because you're a guy, maybe. But to me, something about that was just, it just struck me wrong. It could just be me. I could have been the only person in the world who felt like that. But something struck me wrong about that. And she never got beyond that with me. She was just so manic all the time that I had a real hard time relating to her.
Yeah, her disorder, whatever it was pretty off-putting. It's pretty hard to like her.
But, you know, we kind of talked about that. We saw that in, was it The Bridge? Not nearly to that extreme, but the same blonde female lead with this.
Yeah, but she's cool. I like The Bridge.
Well, I do too.
I like the character in The Bridge. I don't like Carrie at all.
No. And I do too. And I completely, I specifically won't like her. I'm sure I didn't know it'd come back on. I can't believe it. I don't even have it taped or anything. But, yeah, I'll definitely have to watch it because I don't know.
So there's one other shows, quote unquote, that I wanted to talk about. And it was Sunday Night Football. And I don't know if you know about this guy, Michelle, from Tennessee, but the Patriots played the Cincinnati Bengals. And the Patriots, the drama in that is the Patriots had just lost a big game and Tom Brady was replaced by some stud new quarterback that, believe it or not, is even better looking than Tom Brady. And they were saying, well, Brady's now 37 years old and he's time for him to retire and move on so the new guy can come in. And but the Patriots got killed last week, so they came into the premier game of the week. It's always Sunday Night Football, and they played Cincinnati, and Patriots kicked ass. Tom Brady came back, and he was the hero again. But on Cincinnati, they have a guy named Devon Still. Have you heard about this guy?
I think I read just the like tagline for him saying something about I don't know. Tell me. I don't want to ruin it.
Yeah, the Cincinnati Bengals signed Devon Still to their practice squad so that he could get health insurance to take care of his little 4-year-old daughter who has cancer.
Mm.
And his 4-year-old daughter is Leah Still. So he played in that game, which is cool. But before the game, they had a little special on Devon and Leah Still. And it was just like, it would melt your heart to watch this little thing. She has some cancer that's really pretty strong, neuroblastoma or something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And she's bald. She's going through chemo, and so all the New England Patriots cheerleaders wore his number from the other team. He's on the Bengals, but the Patriots cheerleaders wore his number.
Aww.
As they were cheering, and it was just a great little story. And they wore Leah Strong, you know, little signs on their outfits and stuff. And it was just really cool. They show him, like, crying. And, you know, this little girl, poor little girl, has this cancer. And she's, like, she looks really, she's riding around in the car with him and hugging him. And, you know, she's really chipper and brave. And then some of the time she's tired and he's, like, carrying her and taking care of her. And I don't know, it's just really cool. Really cool story.
Oh, that breaks my heart. That's really nice, though. I mean, I don't know. I did not know any of that.
So, yeah, Leah Still, she has an Instagram, and you can contribute to her and all the stuff. But I'll put a picture of him, and I'll put a link on the show notes.
Do that, sweet baby. That's awful.
But it's good. It's cool. It's not awful. It's the story's cool.
It is. It's cool, and, I mean, it's neat how they helped with that and everything. That's nice. It's just goodness.
So what else you got to cheer us up after that, Michelle?
Geez. Well, American Horror's come.
Oh,
I think it's
God.
Been on for 34 minutes. Not look.
The carnival one.
Yeah. Freak Show. We still got Jessica Lange, Evan Peters, Sarah Paulson. So we still got, you know, many of the same characters. It's set in circa 1950. There's much more. They're saying much more good about it than I would have thought. It's supposed to be real visually appealing. And I got to say, I'm always amazed how they ramp up.
Is there a timeline to that show? Like, is the carnival one like the next year after the one from last season?
Mm-hmm. No, nothing. No, because last was Coven. And it was definitely not before the 50s.
So Coven could have been like 1998, and now they're right in 1950. They just jump around?
Yes.
Oh, God. And it's the same people, though?
It's a lot of this. It's not the same people. It's the same actors. They play completely different characters.
Well, that's what I mean. It's like watching Ted Danson in a bar in Cheers, and then all of a sudden he's in the like 1930s, like, you know, Prohibition.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that's mind-bending.
It really is. And when you see Jessica Lange play these characters, it kind of blows you away. I mean, she is just... I haven't seen her do one thing that wasn't... that you didn't buy into it. But they've gotten each season... You know, the first one's about a haunted house. And you're like, yeah, okay. But they kind of have ramped it up each time into more surreal, kind of more sci-fi, kind of weird stuff. And this one is evidently supposed to be ramped up even more, but they always pull it out. And so far, I think they've released the first two episodes for review, and it's gotten great reviews. I haven't seen them, but we'll see. I don't know how happy that was.
Why haven't you seen them if they're so great?
Well, I actually didn't know. I didn't know until I was looking it up when it came on, when I saw that it was coming on tonight. I was looking it up to make sure that it was the first one. And they had said that they had released the first two to great reviews. I didn't know until today.
Okay. So.
And then Walking Dead, of course, is coming back on. It's coming back on Sunday. So, I mean, we're getting some TV back on.
Yeah, what do you think is going to happen in Walking Dead?
I have no idea. They just renewed it for season 6, though, right?
I have no idea. All I know is they're stuck in a train car in Terminus. It's the main characters, except for Carol and... who's the black guy?
Yeah. I would have known if you hadn't asked me. I don't remember.
But those two that were mortal enemies because Carol killed his sister or his girlfriend are now kind of the saviors. They're the two that are outside of the grasp of Terminus.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, but the rest of them are caught in there. And so we get to see. I don't know. I don't have any idea. But I did read that it was renewed for another season. And they're all trapped in there. I mean, you know that they're gonna get out.
They're gonna get out of there, of course. So
some of them are.
There's a preview scene where they're running around with a bunch of zombies, and it looks like somehow Carol and what's his name got a bunch of zombies into Terminus, which is not a bad idea if those guys are all locked into a sealed car to turn zombies loose to cause mayhem so they can get out.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds like that could, I mean, but who knows? I think a lot of people have turned on Walking Dead too. What do you think?
I kind of did too for a while. I don't know. I don't like it nearly as much as I liked the first episode or the first season.
Oh, and what's her name's not in there either. Remember? The singing girl. What's her name?
Beth.
Yeah, Beth.
She's in there.
She's in there? I thought she's somewhere else.
There's a preview of... Well, no, she's not in the train car, but she's in the... Yeah, there's a preview of her, like, in some hospital. There's some hospital where she... You know, remember... I don't know if you remember. She was taken away in a car with a cross on the back, like almost a medical cross.
Mm-hmm.
She's connected somehow to those people.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see that other group of people. I mean, I like it. I've got... You know, the teenager here, Jillian, who loves it still. And so, I mean, she gets really excited over it. So that makes it exciting to watch. I mean, we've never not sat around and watched it and oohed and awed and made popcorn and really had a good time with it. So I have to admit, I'm kind of looking forward to it coming back home.
Yeah, they kind of leave. They're kind of smart and they leave you wanting to know what happened. So.
Yeah. Yeah, but renewed again. A lot of people are really questioning that, too. You know, like, I don't know, we've discussed it a couple times where it's like there's specific start and end dates for certain things now, like the anthologies and stuff that we're talking about. And I think we're kind of coming to depend on that and like that. And this can go on forever. I think we might tend as an audience to lose interest based on a lot of the things that I'm reading anyway. Over the course of time, I really believe that the start and end dates are keeping people maybe more engaged or something. I don't know.
Because they start and end at odd times, you mean?
No, because there is an end to it, kind of. Like, we knew True Detective. We knew when it was going to end. That was going to be the end. That story is told, and we knew that. And so we could really get into it and get ourselves invested in it, and we knew that, you know, it's going to, whatever, start, build up, climax, and then end, right? We knew that. And I think we kind of looked forward to the scenes and them doing that. And the same thing with Fargo. And, you know, and then the series that just go on, and you don't know when it's going to end, or it's only going to end when people quit watching, or when they're not as good anymore, or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know that that has the same appeal anymore. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. And like series in the past, they used to be like exempt from their previous episodes. Like everything was like kind of standalone. Like you could be in a car accident in one episode, and then next episode, everybody's cheerful and happy and healthy. And, you know, the serial nature of episodes now kind of lead us down these paths of like long-tailed stories. But I like them having, I like having endings, you know, like Breaking Bad, I knew it was going to end at a certain point. And,
right.
You know, like you say, True Detective and those.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I like knowing when the stopping point's going to be, even if I don't want it to stop. But I think that's part of it, is that you want to still want some of it once it's over. That's what kind of makes you, I don't know, I think yeah. That's kind of what makes it good.
Lost is kind of an example of going way longer than it should have. And
oh my god,
Boardwalk's kind of the opposite. It's like being slammed shut before it has enough time to reach its probably proper close.
Right.
But yeah. I think Walking Dead has no ending in sight and has no limit to the possibilities.
Well, that's just it. They probably don't have an end, do you think?
No, it's too much of a moneymaker.
I mean, I don't even know that they have an eventual end. You know, even if you had a moneymaker, you may think, okay, I'm going to stretch this out and draw it out, but this is going to be the way we end it when we do end it, and I don't even know that it
has. No, there is no end. Kirkman, who wrote it, is like, you know, you can go on forever with all the possibilities. Even Game of Thrones has an end. Like, they've shared, you know, those guys have shared the final ending with the TV writer so that they can put, you know, they can put it to bed if they ever have to. You know, in case J.R.R. Martin doesn't make it to whatever. He's pretty old and he doesn't look very healthy, but he's told the writers what he wanted to do to, you know, facilitate the ending. That guy's name is Tyrese, by the way.
Tyrese.
So Carol and Tyrese are out roaming around, hopefully in a spot to be able to set those guys free.
Well, and we know something's going to happen.
How about Z Nation? Have you ever watched that?
Oh my gosh. It is so bad. So bad. What do you think?
It's really bad.
I mean, like, stinks bad. It is so bad. And I actually like bad zombie stuff, so I don't know why I don't love this, but man, it's bad. Yes, I've watched it. I'm not completely caught up. I think I'm two or three behind, but I'm trying to, you know, kind of watch through it as there's nothing else on, but I know when all these good shows start coming back on, that's definitely gonna fall by the wayside because the, you know, I hate to criticize people, you know I do, but the acting, oh my gosh, just all of it. Maybe it's the writing, I don't know. It's just,
it's like Showtime.
It's
Showtime trying to pretend to be HBO, I think.
It's painful. It is painful. I will turn it on and watch as long as I can, and then I turn it off because it's like I can't watch it right now.
Well, it doesn't get any better. I've seen parts of like the first two or three episodes, and they're all the same.
Oh, I've seen like the first at least three, and now there's like, I think there's a couple more. I know I've got them DVR'd, and no, it's, but Silicon Valley, that got renewed for season two.
Well, that was good.
That's really good. It's not due out, though, until sometime in 2015. That's just all they're saying. And of course, we know Louis Which, by the way, got number 12 in the top 20 picks on IndieWire, which is evidently pretty prestigious. But we know it's been picked up for season 5. Do you think it's going to be more like season 4, which was just so drastically different than the other seasons? How do you think he's going
to
do that?
I don't know. I think part of the allure of Louis is like trying to figure out what the hell he's trying to do, because he turned his comedy show into a drama, pretty much.
Yeah.
Last season.
Yeah, but it was much better received, I think, as far as the reviews. I mean, like I said, well, I mean, it pulled up to 12 of 20.
I think he lost a bunch of fans, though, when he wasn't the comedian Louis. He was like the drama player Louis. Maybe got new fans because of it, too, but...
Well, definitely me. That's what you were talking about. You said you like that we do it just on shows and not just as Uber fans or whatever. You know that I was not an Uber fan of Louis.
Super fan in
season 2, or, you know, 1, 2, or 3. There were some that I liked. Most of them just were not my cup of tea, but I enjoyed season 4 for the most part. I really enjoyed it. So,
how about the Batman show? Have you watched any of Gotham?
No, I haven't. I haven't. Have you?
No, I've heard it's bad, but...
Is it bad?
It's kind of the story of Batman before he's adult enough to be, right, you know, it's the young Bruce Wayne.
Right.
I don't know, it's appealing. I would really like to get more into serial comics, graphic novels, but I can't seem to. The whole Flash, Spider-Man, you know...
Right.
Hulk, all that stuff. I'm just not that into it.
Although, I like the movies. Do you like the movies? I love Batman movies and Spider-Man movies and even Iron Man. I love all those movies.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm saying, that I'm not into it as much as I... You know, I like the story of Batman, like the psychology behind overcoming his fears. And I guess I do like the Batman movies, but...
I like Spider-Man, too. I think Spider-Man's good, but... Then we got Fargo, of course, that's coming back on. And did you hear that season 2 is going to be 10 episodes, and they've now said that it's going to be about the Lou Salverson Sioux Falls case of 79 that was alluded to in season 1?
Yeah. What do you think happened in Sioux Falls?
We don't know.
What do you think?
Well, something bad. He came back from the Vietnam War, evidently, and... he was hoping all the bad stuff was going to be over, and then something horrible happened. And it also has Molly's mom in it, which we didn't get to meet in this one. And I don't know. I'm excited to see it, though, but I don't know when it's going to be out. It'll be a while.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens. They've built a kind of high benchmark for them to overcome to do better than season 1.
They really have, but I love that they're finally going to tell us that story. I don't know how high my expectations are for it, because I don't know how they can top season 1, but I'm really happy that we get to hear the Sioux Falls story, because I'm excited about that.
It's a long way away, fall of 2015.
That's a long time. And then we got Mad Men. We're finishing up Mad Men. That's premiering in the spring. The last half, it's only like 7 episodes, and it's entitled The End of an Era, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, you got any predictions for Don Draper?
I don't think he's going to die. I don't think we're going to have it like that. I don't know if he doesn't just come clean with everything, maybe. I don't know that his falling at the beginning, or, you know, on the opening scenes is, I don't know if that's a predictor of him throwing himself. I don't know. I'm just not picturing that with him.
Well, he's already come clean. Remember a couple seasons ago, he was trying to not drink so much, and he was doing a lot of writing and trying to live more healthy, and he kind of threw that aside. I don't think you can do that twice.
Well, so do you think it's going to be what everybody's predicted about him throwing himself out of a window or something.
Well, I think it's the fall of a it's the fall, the failings of a person, and
I agree.
They have to be true to that. So yeah, something, the culmination of the fall has to be kind of portrayed in the story, I think.
Yeah, but maybe he's already fallen. I don't know. I mean, I think it's more metaphoric than physical, but I mean, who knows? They could certainly take it either way. They've stunned me before, but with just a few episodes left, I really hope they don't try to do too much, because I think Mad Men's going to go down to me as one of the great TV shows, and I hope they don't spoil that.
Well, they might not make you very happy, but I don't know that that means spoiled.
No, I don't either. I don't have to be happy with it, but I just don't want them to rush it, I guess is what I'm saying. I don't want them to fit 3 years worth of content that they would have fit in the next 7 shows. That's all.
Well, I don't think they'll do that.
I hope not.
Do you think Breaking Bad was rushed?
Just the tiniest bit at the very end, the tiniest bit. But Breaking Bad, I could so forgive.
Because Boardwalk is going to be rushed. Boardwalk is going to leave everybody feeling like, whoa, that was like, it's too fast. I can guarantee you. Breaking Bad, for me, was perfect. I wanted more, but I had all the resolution to all the threads that, you know, 99% of them anyway, that I was thinking about.
Well, but, although we're going to evidently catch up with some more on Better Call Saul.
Yeah, I mean, I see that kind of in a different direction. I need more from Breaking Bad. I think we will need a lot more from Boardwalk. And I think we'll need more from Mad Men too, because it's just too much.
Yeah, I know. That's just it. It just feels like they've left so much. And I don't know. I don't know. I hope I'm not disappointed in it, because I really do like it. And I don't have to like it, but I just want it to play out well. And I hope that I end up feeling good about that, whatever it even means. See, I want them to know what I mean, even though I don't know what I mean, maybe.
Yeah, of course. So right. What else, Michelle? Do you have any more notes to go over?
The Americans, you see that?
I haven't seen anything new. Did that start up already?
It's been renewed for season 3. I've not heard when it's coming out or anything, but it has been renewed. I saw that. Of course, Orange is New Black is renewed for season 3, and it's slotted for June or July over the summer. And we discussed it at the end of season 2, but Alex is back full-time, and there's going to be a lot of new characters and stuff like that, and I haven't really heard anything other than that. I do know they're filming. I follow many of them on Twitter and stuff like that. So I think they're filming some of that now.
Well, for me, The Americans was kind of a slow boil. Like, I got to like that pretty slowly, but I like it a lot now.
Yeah, me too.
Orange is the New Black, I'm kind of getting to the point where, like, what else can they do? It's a bunch of women in prison. If we stop following, where's Orange is the New Black going to go?
You see, well, I don't know. Piper's still in prison. Piper's only done, I mean, even if we're just following Piper's story, she's only done, what, 25%, maybe 30% of her time in there? So I think that they could easily keep her character and her prison time and her experiences in there, loosely based though they may be, for at least a couple more seasons. But
what's the story? I mean, we kind of know she was afraid of prison. She got used to prison. She's hardened by prison. We've seen the economics that go on in the prison. Right. We've seen one person's fall from rise and fall. You know, we've seen a couple people with medical problems and so forth. But what else is there to tell? What other stories are there to tell?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I would have never thought all that until they showed it to me.
I don't care that much about Piper anymore. I don't care that much about Alex. I don't really care about their relationship. There's not much left that I care about, you know? And it's going to have to be a pretty wild swing of something new that gets me to really get bought into caring again.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that. I'm excited for it. I am a big fan of the show, but I don't know. I mean, I trust them. They haven't let me down yet, and I trust that they're going to keep it fresh and interesting and stuff, and I don't think we have really honestly scratched the surface of everything that they could show about a female prison, but maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe Red will get a Pierowski stand on 52nd Street.
Well, but we may get to see Piper come back out and acclimate back into life and how that would change. You know, we saw Tasty try to do that, and she ended up getting herself put back in on purpose. I don't know. I just think that there is some storyline certainly left that they could do, although I have no idea what. Rectify.
Never watched it.
I only know it's been picked up. You've never watched Rectify?
Nope.
I know it's only been picked up, or I only know that it's been picked up for season 3. That's all I know about that one.
How about?
I think that one's gotten good. It's gotten
how about
better.
Sons of Anarchy and its Hamlet conclusion?
Yeah, I've never watched that. You know, I watched like the first couple of episodes of it, and it didn't do it. Should I have stuck with it?
You can't jump in at the end. You can't just pick it up at season 6 or 7 or whatever they are. You got to kind of watch it. But yeah, I like it. It's Hamlet, you know, the fall of a character, things domino just into one another, and it's the fall, the guy pulling everything out to, like, you know, it's everybody's doomed kind of a story.
Is it worth it? It felt so, the first couple episodes, and I try not to judge on those, but it felt so stereotypical, you know, so almost cliche.
A lot of people don't like it. It has a lot of, I don't know, a lot of people don't like it. It, you know, Kurt Sutter is the writer. He's married to Katie Sagal, who's the married with children wife, who's the biker mom she's the star of the show.
Right.
And Kurt Sutter was in The Shield, was a writer in The Shield.
I like The Shield. Well, no, I didn't see The Shield. Did I see The Shield? I don't think I saw. I can't remember. I'm getting them confused now. They're running together.
The Shield was awesome. The Shield was a great show. But Kurt Sutter, that's where he kind of
I'm thinking of The
learned.
Wire. No, I haven't seen The Shield. Sorry.
Yeah. Walton Goggins was in The Shield. Walton Goggins is also in Sons of Anarchy. He's in what's the Kentucky Moonshiner show. God, this is a crappy podcast. With Timothy Oliphant.
I don't know.
Justified.
Why is that the Kentucky Moonshiner show?
Because he's a Kentucky cop, and it's about guys running moonshine, and Walton Goggins is the guy that co-stars in it.
I've never heard it called that. Yes, I like Justified pretty well. Oh, and that new show, Leftovers, I didn't even write that one down. What do you think of
it? I like The Leftovers. I watched it. I like it.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. I thought it was good. I fear a lost kind of thing with it, but I thought it was good.
Well, there's all kinds of articles by Damon Lindelof about how he's afraid of replicating Lost and being hated by everybody.
Well,
he canceled his Twitter account because it got so much hate tweets from people that hated Lost.
Well, I mean, you and I have had this conversation. I went into Lost really excited about it and watched it, you know, episode after episode after episode, and just really stuck with it. You know how I am. I mean, I don't give up on stuff, and I, oh my gosh, by the end of it, I just wanted to scream. I was much, much more upset than I should have been over a TV show, but I'm just thinking about all those hours that I would never get back. Masters of Sex, that's supposed to be really good. It got really high ratings. Never seen it. I don't have the show. Bates Motel, my oldest daughter, Jessica, says it's totally wildly inappropriate, and she thinks it's great. She loves it.
That's Vince Vaughn.
Is it?
No, he was in the movie Psycho. I'm just wondering who's in the show.
I don't know. It's supposed to be the young Norman Bates, so I don't know. And Outlander has gotten a lot of really great reviews and stuff, too. I mean, like, really good reviews, but I don't have Stars So I hate to get stars just for that one show. So I think I'll wait till
get
it comes
XBMC.
On. What's that?
XBMC.
What's that?
It's a Xbox Media Center. You can watch any. You can stream anything from the internet.
Well, that sounds illegal.
I'm not here to portray the legal or illegal aspects of it, but Google it.
Okay.
All right, Michelle, that's about all I got. I don't know how much this is going to make it to the airwaves, but...
That's all I got, too. I'm done.
All right, but well...
I'm excited about Homeland, so thanks for telling me about that.
Yeah, check it out. You won't like it, but check it out.
So I can hate it like you do?
Well, you like the first one, and you won't like the second one. That's my prediction.
Okay. I think you might be right.
The first one is the drone queen. Carrie's kind of in charge of running drones, and she zaps a wedding.
Oh, my gosh.
And the next one is Trilon and Perisphere. And that's the baby in the bathwater one.
Geez, that's rough. Okay.
So enjoy yourself with that. And,
yeah, thanks.
Other than that, I'll catch you on the airwaves next time.
Okay, we'll see you next time.
All right, bye, Michelle.
Bye-bye.